Hello, Madison, North Florida. We are so grateful to be bringing you another edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF, your hometown radio station. And if you're listening by computer anywhere in America, anywhere in the world to WMAF, I pray you'll stay tuned. We're in the Christmas season, and we're going to be talking about the greatest gift that could ever be possibly given to anyone. Regardless whether you're wealthy or you're a pauper, God has given a gift that should absolutely bowl you over and blow you away. God has given a gift unto mankind that is called the unspeakable gift in the New Testament, and it represents the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Now, here I am today going to talk to you about an unspeakable gift. We'll never do it justice fully, but we pray that somehow, some way, we can begin to appreciate anew and afresh, if you're a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, please stay tuned today so that you can maybe get a better understanding of what the Christian faith, the authentic, true Christian faith, is all about. There's a lot of misrepresentations of God and of Christianity, and a lot of it, sad to say, is because of Christians who are not authentic. But I want you to know the faith we embrace is genuine. It is real. What happened a little over 2,000 years ago is a real, historic, powerful, personal event, and it can change your life today. It can change your destiny tomorrow and forever. So don't miss this broadcast today. We're going to be talking about the mystery and the majesty of Christmas, and that's the heading that we're going to be using in this broadcast and future broadcasts, and right up until Christmas Day. We pray you will have the most spiritually fulfilling and satisfying Christmases that you have ever had. Amen. Because you understand, appreciate, and appropriate both the mystery and the majesty of this great event. Praise God. Amen. We're going to be talking today under that heading of the mystery and majesty, lifting high the light of the world in an ever darkening culture. We're going to read from the Old Testament prophecy about the coming of a Messiah and how he would come in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." One translator says, "These be his royal titles." Hallelujah. Amen. On Christmas Day over 2,000 years ago, a son was given. God became incarnate, literally taking on flesh. God the Son came to this earth and took on flesh. That's what incarnate means. A baby was born a king. An infant was born to become a savior. Both a sacrifice lamb and a sovereign king. That is the mystery and the majesty of Christmas, that he was born to be a sacrifice lamb and a sovereign king of the world simultaneously. And he was born in Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, another ancient scripture prophetic of his coming, and even the place specifically that he would be born, says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me," that is to be ruler in Israel, "whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting," or literally from eternity. This is an incredible verse of Scripture, that this baby that was going to be born has a past already. He has a history already. His goings have been from old, literally from eternity. Praise God. Make no mistake about it. This was no ordinary birth in Bethlehem. Jesus is the wonderful counselor, but he's also the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. One of the most familiar passages in the Bible, familiar because of its frequent appearance on Christmas cards and in Christmas sermons, is the one most profound and mysterious passages. And it is in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 that we read earlier. I'm going to read it again. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The mystery is how a mere child born like other children could also be the Everlasting Father. The very term seems to constitute in the modern vernacular an oxymoron, that is an impossible contradiction in terms. The same problem is encountered in another very familiar Christmas verse that we just read in Micah 5 and verse 2, and I want to read it again. Listen carefully. But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel. Listen, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. That is, how could a babe be brought forth from a mother in Bethlehem when he's already been going forth from eternity? Then consider the great prophecy of the virgin birth, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet in Isaiah 7:14, saying, as cited by the angel in Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God himself with us in the guise of a virgin-born child. That is the mystery, and that is the majesty that is in the message of Christmas. Jesus was with the Father from the beginning. He has now become Emmanuel, God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. He who was the very brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person, according to Hebrews 1:3, was made in the likeness of men, according to Philippians 2:8. He was one with the mighty God, the everlasting Father, but has now become one with us, made like unto his brethren, according to Hebrews 2 and verse 17. In other words, that he, as Emmanuel, he also becomes Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, according to Matthew 1:21. He who created all things finally created a human body in which he himself would dwell, and in which he would die for our sins and rise again for our justification. Praise God. I love John 1:14. It says, the Word, that is the creating Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. What a mystery this is. According to 1 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. What mystery, and yet what majesty, according to Philippians 2, 9 through 11. It said, wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth and of things beneath the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We should counter the prince of darkness by lifting up the King of Kings. God is with us equates to God is for us. And if God be for us, friend, who can be against us? Amen. Listen, God gave His Son so that we might have eternal life. When it says a son is given, it doesn't just mean that He sent him into our world. It meant He sent him into our fallen world to become an offering for our sin, a sacrificed lamb. One of the most staggering statements that was made in the New Covenant was made by John the Baptist when he first saw Jesus and had the revelation that this was the Messiah, the Anointed One, and this was His mission, to become a sacrifice for the sins of fallen man. When he saw Him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." You know what that means? That means that God Himself, Jesus Christ, who was with the Father in the beginning, who was there at creation, for the Bible said there was nothing made that He, Jesus, did not make, that was co-equal with God in the creation of the world. You know, in Genesis, the Bible says, "Let us create man in our image." A triune God working in perfect harmony as one. Praise God that this second person of the Godhead, whose goings have been from eternity, would come to this earth, take on flesh, and still lose none of His divine qualities and eternal being and person, and condescend to come down and become as a baby. Oh, friend of mine, that He might, as a sacrificed lamb, hang seemingly helpless on a cross, to represent our sin unto God, and to be counted as He sinned, even though He never did, to literally take my sin and yours upon Himself. What majesty, what mystery, but what love, what grace, what wonderful, wonderful compassion our Father has had upon us, that He would give us nothing less than His only begotten Son, that if we would believe on Him, we would not perish, but have eternal life. Praise God. That's why this Christmas season, I want to lift up my Savior. I want to lift up my King. You know, we all understand the commercialization of Christmas, but it's went beyond the commercializing of Christmas. Satan's initial strategy is just turn it into some kind of materialistic holiday instead of the holy day that it is, and take away the spiritual significance. Every time I see the abbreviation for Christmas or Christ Mass, and I see the X where Christ was, I see the stratagem and strategy of the devil. Don't ever abbreviate Christmas with an X where Jesus is supposed to be. Praise God. Amen. There's still controversy whether to say Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas. And yet the polls keep telling us that 69-70% of the people want everywhere you go to say Merry Christmas. Listen, friend, this is about a gift of salvation through the gift of God's own Son. Unto us a Son is given. For God so loved the world that He gave, and not just gave, as I said, to come into this earth and do good things, but to come with a specific purpose of dying on the cross for our sins, that we might be reconciled unto God, that we might be forgiven. Ah, the great Christmas hymns that you may not fully appreciate or understand as you hear them. God rest you, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Listen, God's rest and peace is offered to fallen man through reconciliation. Praise God. God rest ye merry. Gentlemen, let nothing you dismay, for Christ our Savior is born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power, because we have gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Praise God. Listen, if Jesus is your King, then you need to lift Him up. If He's the King of Kings, then praise His name. Is Jesus Lord of Lords? Then bow to Him and Him alone. And if you don't know Jesus, stay tuned. Don't turn that dial. God loved you enough, friend. You enough. You say, wait a minute. Now, you don't know me, preacher. How can you say that God loved me? Because for the Scripture declares that God commends His love to us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. God has made a way for you to be saved. And He has sent the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm doing on the air. You say, what are you doing on the radio? You're trying to expand your ministry, build your church, increase your salary. None of those things are going to happen where you're hearing this broadcast. And I dare say no one's going to be showing up in Tampa, Florida to our church. We're not asking you for anything but to hear the good news, to heed the good news. Amen. To receive the gift that God has wrapped in love and sent to us through our sovereign King and sacrifice Lamb, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Make no mistake about it. This gospel is blood bought by Jesus Christ and blood brought. So many have laid down their life so that others can know Christ as their Savior. Amen. God loves enough to sacrifice that others may, His own Son, and in a sense His own self. Not that God can die, but that flesh died on that cross. Ah, but Jesus is alive forevermore, and He's mighty to save and to deliver this very day. Praise God. When it says a son is given, my heart leaps for joy and at the same time is broken when I look at the magnitude of mercy that is flowing from the heart of God. Who am I? The songwriter said that a king would bleed and die for. Who am I that he would say, not my will, thine for? Who are we that God would give His only begotten Son? I'm so excited when I really begin to grasp. And, you know, I've been preaching the gospel for almost 40 years total. 37 right here as pastor in Tampa of the same church in January. I want you to know that I still can't get over what God has done in and through Jesus Christ. I believe the key to great revival in America is not some new revelation, but a new appreciation for what we know and what we believe and what we possess right now in Jesus Christ. It's not some new thing that God needs to do to stimulate us and attract us back to Himself. Amen. To get us excited and to get the first love ignited within us again. It's not a new revelation. It's not something new and improved, because there's nothing better than what we have. Praise God. It is looking again at what we have in Jesus and seeing, maybe for the first time, the glory of the and richness and power of what we have and possess and what God has done for us in Jesus when He gave us His only begotten Son. I'm going to say it again. Is Jesus your King? Then lift Him up. Is He the King of Kings? Then praise His name. Is He the Lord of Lords? Then bow to Him alone. I want to read in closing a little, it's not such a little statement, it's a big statement about our Savior and soon coming King. I got to give credit to Pastor Dr. Shadrach Meshach Lockridge, what a title, of San Diego Calvary Baptist Church. I want you to listen what this preacher has to say. He said, Jesus, my King. And he says, my King was born King. The Bible said he's a seven-way King. He's King of the Jews, that's a racial King. He's King of Israel, that's a national King. He's King of righteousness. He's the King of ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. Now that's my King. Well, I wonder if you know him. Do you know him? Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my King? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. My King is the only one whom there's no means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supplies. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. He's enduringly strong, entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful, imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my King. He's God's Son. He's the sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's awesome, unique, and unparalleled. He is unprecedented. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he foreguards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. Do you know my King? Well, my King is the King of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway to righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of the governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the King of kings. He is the Lord of Lords. That's my King. Oh, we're coming down to the end here. Listen, his office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. I got to take a breath here. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you. But he's indescribable, he's incomprehensible, invincible, irresistible. I'm trying to tell you, the heaven of heavens cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind, you can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree, and Herod just couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my King. He always has been. He always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor. He'll have no successor. He was nobody. There was nobody before him. There would be no one after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my King. Thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory. Well, power belongs to my King. We all around here talk about different kinds of power, political power, military power, but it's God's power. Thine is the power and the glory. We're trying to get prestige and honor and glory for ourselves, but the glory is all His. Yes, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. How long is that? And ever and ever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all the forevers, then amen. That's my King. This is why he was born into this world, and his royal titles included, amen, the mighty God and the everlasting Father. Make no mistake about it, in that little manger in Bethlehem, a king was born, King of kings and Lord of lords. And that great, mighty King of glory went to the cross, as a man would go, helpless, and gave his life as a sacrifice lamb. Oh, the mystery, and yet the majesty of Christmas, and the joy of the greatest gift that could ever possibly be given, and that is that unto us, me and you, brother and sister, a son is given. A son is given. And Jesus laid down his life as a lamb. He that spoke with God, being one with God, spoke the worlds into existence. He didn't speak a word to deliver himself from the agony of being tortured to death for our sins. Friend of mine, this is why the new covenant calls him, and this wonderful salvation we now have received, the unspeakable gift. And when it is unwrapped, we find the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. I don't know how your bank account is. I know most people are having to really tighten up this season. Honey, it's not what we can go out and purchase with money. It's the gift that is beyond price that we need to celebrate. Just don't let the economic downturn put a damper on your Christmas. If you got loved ones in your life, appreciate them. See the value. If you got your mom and daddy alive, see how rich you are. If you got your children around you safe and they're not dying with some devastating disease, oh, thank God this Christmas. Got food on that table. Oh, thank God this Christmas. Praise God. You got a mate that knows you inside and out and still sticking life out with you. Thank God for that person in your life. Praise God. But above all, if you're a Christian, thank God that you have Jesus Christ. And through him, you have God's love gift, the gift of salvation and eternal life. Praise God. Don't let anything keep you from shouting victory this Christmas season. Praise God. You've got a great King in Jesus and a great Savior. Hallelujah. And today, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, before this broadcast is over, I want to invite you to open your heart to receive this gift of God's love to you. Amen. God knows all about you, every sin you've ever committed, and yet he's decided to give his Son so that those sins can be forgiven. You see, God has already decided to save you, because he's already given his Son for that purpose. It's your decision to receive this gift that will determine your destiny for eternity. Don't let this golden opportunity pass you by. Bow your head right now. Repent of your sin. Come clean with God and say, Lord, forgive me. I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'd make you and you alone my God and my King. Oh, we love you today. Why don't you be sure and come back next week and let's talk about Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.
It's a love.